to be or not to be? That's a question. There are a lot more questions you have. Probably ones with far more complicated words. And far more optimism. You can go off into your happy place. It's time to bring in the darkness. The place where you don't dare look. You're now unconscious. Mind has tuned in to its favorite late night talk show for the Shamelessly Fringe. It's Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that be. And hello, everybody. Greg Bornstein here, your looper of all loopers, your consciousness disruptor, and of course, look into my podcast player to make sure this is still playing. I'm your cultural hypnotist. Yes, taking you on a all-paid, that's right, trip into your unconscious. The land of trances. The land of possibility. Yes, what even is Open Loops? I mean, what the heck? What kind of a show is this where you have a title like that and you're not even supposed to know what the name is? It's actually very interesting when I came up with that name. The idea I had behind it was I was going to provoke. I was going to provoke myself. I was going to provoke you. And my goal is to challenge your existing belief systems by bringing on guests and talking myself. And we would share and indulge in radically unique ideas designed to stimulate your other than conscious mind and force you to step into the highest version of yourself. That was the thought process. The other unthought process was that we're going to talk about the topics that take us away from it all. I mean, hypnosis, magic, the paranormal, the supernatural, the magical, the mystical, the fantastical, the glamorous. Anything that might not be real, but makes you want to keep thinking about it, makes you want to keep asking questions. Actually what I did before when I started talking about how I came up with the name Open Loop but didn't actually answer the question. That was an open loop. Yes, opening up the thought, but not finishing it off, making you want to know more and more. This next guest always makes me want to know more. He's a returning champion, Mark Jacox. Now, Mark is a very great friend of the show. I really did not know what to make of him when I first engaged with his conversations. I was looking for a time traveler to come on the show. I was researching Project Pegasus and the Montauk Project, and I came across this guy who said that he'd been part of that project when he was a kid. And it started in the middle of the 20th century, but time split him in half. Originally, I spoke about how I was afraid on the last episode I did with him, called Giselle is a Million-Year-Old Tardigrade, I believe that's the name of the episode, and other fun facts with man from the year 10,000,000,2021. I was afraid to put it out. Too weird, it seemed. Too out there, too outrageous. Now, Interestingly enough, even though that episode really did not make a ton of sense to me, a little bit, I started to get a little bit of what Mark's saying. It was such a well-received piece of audio. A lot of people gave me, they said, Greg would love this. This is great. I think having someone with such different views, such a different way of looking at the world, it's worthy of putting on the air. Also, Mark said something about Andrew Cuomo going down in the last episode, and it came true. So when he's talking about seeing the world many more zeros than you put in the calendar, well, maybe he's right. Mark is the man who claims he experiences all of time, and that we all have the capability to do the same. He's just the messenger. I'm happy to receive the messages, and I love him coming on the show. I hope we can do an episode where we have people ask him questions. Call-in show. He might insult you, but guess what? He doesn't have time for idiots. Me being one of those idiots. Well, Mark J. Cox returns for another deep dive into his other than traditional experiences on the dome, which is where we all are. We're not on Earth, by the way. Yes, it's all there. If you enjoy any aspect of this kind of thing, you better make sure to share Open Loops with your friends and family. And look, if you receive any value from this kind of conversation, please make sure to rate this podcast on your favorite podcast platform where you can, and leave a couple words to review it. Helps get these conversations out there. I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for you, because here he comes, the inimitable. You can't. That's the thing about this guy. By the way, his story is consistent every time I ask him about it. Very consistent. I feel like I understand him more and more each time, but I'll never fully get it, at least, well, if I limit my mind to think the way Mark thinks we all do. You'll hear what I mean. Here he is, Mark J. Cox. Ladies and gentlemen, today on Open Loops, Mark J. Cox, the man who sees all of time, experiences all of time, 14 digits of time more than you do. And I'm very excited to have him on. Mark, thanks so much for returning to the show.
My pleasure, Greg. It's so good to be heard.
Yeah. You know what? That's something you said to me after the last interview, that you were very grateful that I gave you the space, the airtime to talk about your view. And even since we spoke many months back and did this first recording, that other people have claimed that they would have you on their show and then didn't mean it. And then this whole thing started with you going on Coast to Coast and you getting banned from there. Tell me this, Mark, why do you feel that people aren't giving you space to hear your voice?
Well, because it's fact and they're running on ego. And when ego meets fact, it ends. You know, when they meet me, their bullshit line ends. The thing is, people talk about being a time traveler. Okay, now if you're traveling through time, just think about this, then your thoughts are traveling through time, right? So if your thoughts have travel through time, then they have crossed more space, right? So your thought speed has increased, right? Mm. So if your thought speed has increased, so show me a fact where your thought speed has increased, proving that you have been through time. and nobody else has but me on August 8th, 2015, and then again on 11/23/2015. My thoughts were, you know, came out of my head and were put into reality because they're that fast. I didn't realize they were that fast because I never measured so much time before. You know, when I started measuring 14 digits of time, that's basically the opposite of what I was given me. I was given 41 digits of time on the apocalypse on August 19th, 2012.
Why do you say that was the apocalypse? What happened then?
Well, because an orb that told me when it was coming appeared and floated in front of me and downloaded its time, its memory of 41 digits of time. That's a one and 40, you know, zeros after it. And that was put into me, into my mind, and it told me it was coming. I didn't know what was coming. I waited there on my front porch because I knew it was going to come there in front of the big tree, and that's where it came. It came right through, you know, the trees, came right through the buildings, everything. It came straight out of the sky like a spotlight, boom, and there it was. Yeah.
No, wait a minute. I really want you to break this down for me again. I know I ask you to do this all the time because we message back and forth and we're always talking off the air about this, but I want to, sometimes I don't ask you actually to go as much depth as possible because I want to save it for these interviews just so I really can break it down. Most people think the apocalypse is this, you know, the devil's gonna come up and hell on earth, the world's gonna get destroyed. What is your apocalypse? What's different than the common myth of apocalypse? What do you mean by it?
Well, the apocalypse is what happens on the apocalypse, is that we create life with our will. And that's not something that's new. It's something that you can see on many episodes of One Step Beyond. And that talks about real things, real events that happened during World War II, before World War II, after World War II, all to the present day. It's you can see that when we don't understand that what we measure is just a portion of what is there. We're not measuring what the ground says is there. So we're not listening to the ground that we're standing on. So how can we be conscious? If we're not listening to if we're not conscious of the space that the ground has recorded, the ground's got a recording and it's recording 10 digits of time. And you have 4 digits of time operating your consciousness. And it's 6 digits short of what the ground is saying is there. So you're not there. You're near wherever you are, you're where you're put. You're at your dish of time, like the dog has got a dish, okay? And that dish of time that you have is 2021. But the dog knows that there's a bag that fills its dish. And that bag is what we call eternity. And eternity has to be there because we think it's there. And there's more there than we are measuring is there. And once I measured more there, more showed up. More life showed up. You see, there's no such thing as aliens because there's no such thing as 2021. 21's not there. A stick will tell you 2021 is not there because the stick's been sticking out of the ground for 5,000 years. There's trees that are alive 5,000 years and they're there, but your mind is not as far as they are in time. So how can you be conscious if sticks have been sticking out of the ground longer than you're measuring to be there? Sticks have more awareness than you do about time, and sticks have big sticks, old sticks, trees carry messages of all thought. They're thought transference.
Well, then what do you say about this? Okay, let me give you the argument then. I've definitely heard in science class, especially in elementary school through high school, they talk about how you cut open a tree, you see the rings, and trees are thousands and thousands of years old. So isn't that saying that we already know there's more than 4 digits?
Right. We're not conscious of what we know. We know the tree is there 5,000 years. Okay. But we're only conscious of what we measure. And we only measure 2021. We don't measure what math rule says is 2021 because there is a concerted effort to keep space out of your mind. and it's right there on your birth record. The document that's proclaimed that you have reached an age is void of that age. Zero. Your missing link is missing. Unless you're conscious of beginning consciousness, how can you be conscious? You can. Can you tell me right now the moment that you gain consciousness? Explain it to me, okay? I'm listening.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean,
you haven't measured it. You haven't measured. You have a, you don't have a zero birthday card. You have a, you're gonna, you live your life in a year of your life, every moment of your life, and you measure every year of your life with a birthday, but you don't measure the first one, your zero birthday. You don't measure your 0 year. That's your missing link. Once the zero is forming you, no void is forming you. And when no void is forming you, no void exists. And when no void exists, no earth exists. No universe exists. Outside our dome is the moon's surface. And the moon has one side because all reflections do. That's us up there somewhere on that surface.
So wait a minute. There's so much here, Mark. There's so much here, and I'm going with you. And then you take me on a journey. You throw something in and I go, what? What is that? What do you mean by the... You've talked about the moon a lot with me. You refer to this dome and the moon. What's the relationship between the dome and the moon?
We are on the moon. There's no earth. There's no universe. We're under a dome on the moon's surface, and the moon is under a bigger dome. And when you go out there, there's a howl that can kill you.
What? What do you mean by that? A howl? Yeah, you've talked about, I remember the last episode, you talked about there's a sound if you hear it.
Years of life out there.
Oh my
gosh. Outside our dome on the moon's surface where you're looking at that reflection.
You've heard this howl before?
Well, yeah, I've been, yeah.
What was that like?
How would I know? How would I say it? I mean, it's the same howl that you're going to get from a Bigfoot. Bigfoot is, you know, a species that comes out there and comes into the dome and feeds on us and picks up people that goes out there. You have to realize the movie, The Time Machine, is real. There's two species of life, and we are the feed.
Do you think that H.G. Wells and the people that wrote that movie, H.G. Wells wrote the story. Did H.G. Wells know about this?
I have no clue what H.G. Wells knew. Not, I had a clue.
But you just look at the product and you say they're getting it right. For some reason, this came through and it is the truth.
I'm sorry, you went past me. I was thinking about H.G. Wells and then...
Oh, no, I was going to say, when you look at, because you've referenced Men in Black with me, you've referenced Time Machine, you've mentioned the Day the Earth Stood Still, and sometimes you say, Mark, yeah, it's this, and I'm going, yeah, but that's science fiction. So, but how is...
My science fiction is not science fiction. My science fiction is fact, and it's taken me, my whole life to figure these facts out. And when you're a time traveler, it's not something that is an easy thing to do. It's time travel is like possession. Because you go and you see every graveyard, and you can't go so far so fast because you only see one graveyard. You can't see more than, you see too many at one time. It just. You can't see that much death and be able to function. But the thing is, there's life too. There's so much life that's not being seen that is happening because you're not measuring it to be seen. You see what your mind tells you is there. And if you tell your mind there's more there, your eyes will see more there. And it can't be any simpler than that.
Do you think we all can become time travelers, Mark? Can we all do it?
Yes. All you have to do is measure it yourself as being, you be a time traveler if time's not traveling through you? If you're not measuring the time that is there when you're written to be there, then you're not even there, are you?
That's a good point.
Okay, so yeah. What's written when you're written? There's 4 digits written on your birth record, and there's 10 digits written as the ground, as being recorded as life being there. And as a matter of fact, if life's been living there for 10 digits of time, that means life has been dying for 10 digits of time, which means worms have been eating for 10 digits of time, which is the why of God. That's why there's God, because worms have been eating for 10 digits of time. See, facts are facts. Wait a minute.
What do worms have to do with the creation of God?
Well, if you don't want to face the fact that there are invisible worms eating you, you create a God to save you from these invisible worms.
Wait, so you believe we are all under a collective delusion about worms that are eating at us? You think all of Earth is experiencing this?
We're in the reality of the movie The Time Machine. And we are the people who don't know where the people go under the sand.
Yeah.
We just feed on what we're fed. And we all have that dream. It's 2021. That's the poison apple. That's the New Testament. That's the New World Order. Okay?
And okay. Now, Mark, I hope you can appreciate that you're telling this to me, who is, you know, experiencing life with four digits. And really, I mean, you've listened to enough of this show to know that I'm grappling with these big claims of people. Is there any first step that you can give me or my listeners that would have me even believe it's real at all, that the reality of the time machine is when I'm living? Because it is such a jump, the claims you're making. How do we know?
You think truth is just going to say, I'm here?
Right. It's not.
You know, it's like you feel as if some invisible person's going to come up and knock you on your temple. You know what I mean? And look you in the eye and say, I'm here. You have to go there. You see, the thing is, contact occurs on common ground. And 2021 is not common to anything but you. So you'll have to leave the ground you're upon and venture out of the shire, Frodo, by measuring the space of the kingdom.
I think you have a lot of ideas that people would say are outlandish. You would say it's truth, but I feel like there is wisdom in here. There are pearls of wisdom in here that are really, they feel right, is the strange thing.
It's logic. You have to begin at zero, write your zero. You have to make your zero birthday card. You have to be conscious of beginning. You have to have a moment that you can go to, that's where I began. You're not conscious of that. I asked you that. Oh, I can't remember. That's taken from you because it's your will.
That's interesting. Do you feel that if we went back to when we were babies, we were more conscious than we remember? Were we really? Because they say, you know, you form your ideas, you're just kind of floating around there. I mean, what were we like when we were babies? Does consciousness grow? How do we gain consciousness over time? How does it work?
Well, the thing is, when you have to know when you're beginning to understand what consciousness is. Because right now, you have never measured your beginning. So you are along for a ride where someone told you you jumped on. See?
Interesting.
You haven't measured the time where you gave the man the ticket and jumped on that ride, that 0 point. Of your life, where you began, where you open your eyes, and your consciousness began when you open your eyes. If you don't measure that time consciously, then how can it exist consciously? And how can it remind, how can its memory enter yours now? If you don't measure it to be existing. You can change. The thing is, the moment you change your beginning, you change your end.
Because
your true beginning, zero, has no end. So there's no need for any God to sell you heaven. You're already there. You're conscious of the space that brought you to it. Hell stole you. 2021 is hell. It stole you from the reality of what it is. Because everybody before the year zero didn't measure a negative number. They didn't wake up, oh, it's going to be a not a day. No, there's no such thing as not a, a day that didn't happen. That's the only way a day could be a negative. They took all of time from everyone's mind. You know, you know Socrates' words, but you don't know the number he wrote atop his page that made those words.
What was the number?
Number is leading you. The dish. You're leading that. You're looking at the dish. They want you to feed from the dish, so you don't see anything else.
Wait, did Socrates know this too about the watchers and Bigfoot and the moon and the dome? You think?
I have no idea. If he comes through and tells me so, I'll let you know. But so far, I'm being honest.
Has anybody come through? I mean, Giselle came through.
Abraham Lincoln definitely has.
Wait, you know, Lincoln came to you.
2012 on Coast to Coast Radio with Lynn McTaggart was the book of wrote the book of, you know,
the source field investigator, the whole thing about the intention experiments.
She did an intention experiment, and during that intention experiment I was visualizing the Washington Monument and I was visualizing the Capitol, but I couldn't visualize Lincoln's memorial. And then all of a sudden Lincoln's memorial was alive and in stone, looking right at me and alive, and its hands were crumbling the sides of the chair he was sitting in.
What?
Yeah. And then then Abraham Lincoln, he comes to me and he dreams as me. He was as my dream body. You see, we create will. Our will creates life from the dream. See, that's the 11-year-old boy that's spoken of on Coast to Coast Radio on August 19th, 2012. The 11-year-old boy that Whitley Strieber finds in his woods between 1990 and 91, as I'm projecting my consciousness to his, you know, cabin. Even though I don't know where his cabin is consciously, I was projecting my consciousness to him while I was going to sleep, but I set it out to do no harm. But it did, it reached there, and my unconscious will picked up other people's unconscious, you know, desires and created, and my form formed into a desire that they wanted to see. And a reader guest at a weekend of lots of visitors at Whitley's cabin that was sleeping in Whitley Strieber's son's bedroom saw me at the foot of her bed, and then one foot on the foot of her bed and one foot, you know, on the windowsill ready to jump out the window as a little person, alien type person. And I didn't know this until Whitley says this on 2012, after I was telling George Norrie that earlier during 2012, that I had heard this woman on TV, and as I'm channel surfing, I know that voice. Who's that person? Don't know her, never heard her before, but I know everything she's going to say before she says it. And that's the woman that saw my projected consciousness alive in physical form, in a form that she designed with her will once it got there. And then it caused her an allergic reaction. So my projected consciousness projected itself as an 11-year-old me in the woods so that it wouldn't be far away from anybody, wouldn't cause anybody any harm, and it wouldn't be of any, it wouldn't cause any anyone any worry that it's going to, you know, harm them, because it's only 11-year-old boy. And Whitley finds this boy in his woods, and he leaves him there all alone, all by himself, and doesn't call authorities and doesn't think anything of it. What kind of a 11-year-old do you leave in the middle of nowhere and don't call authorities and don't think nothing of it?
So anyway, you're telling me right now, for the record, you're claiming that Whitley Strieber left a child in the woods unattended.
Yes.
What? That is an outrage.
Right, live on the air in 2012, yes. What kind of 11-year-old does a... And you know what? That 11-year-old finds him in Texas 2 weeks later. And the police are called. That's how scared Whitley got. You know what happened? He says the first time that the 11-year-old boy jumps up and he breaks the spokes on the of the neighbor's bicycle on the second story deck, and then jumps to the roof straight up 8 feet and then disappears. Disappears. That's Ridley's words on the air of CTC in 2012.
So people can go back and listen to that. Yeah, and
if they let you.
Oh, you think they're hiding that interview potentially, or that testimony from him?
Well, thing is, that's the whole thing. If my truth comes out, their ego ends, their story ends. Simple as that. It's fact or fiction. There's a line. I'm making the line.
Tell you what, I mean, there's a chance that one day I'll have the privilege, you might not think it's this, but the privilege of interviewing Whitley on this show. If you were to meet Whitley Strieber right now, what would you say to him?
Why you ignore me? Why did your name come up on the phone that went black on me 5 or 6 days or 10 days after I show a ex-MUFON director a video of a UFO, and then and my phone goes black and I have to get a new one, and your name and your email comes up on my phone along with some guy named Kent with the FBI.
Okay.
Why is that? That's what I would ask.
It's a great question.
And why did John B. Wells send me a friend request after that? After I emailed Whitley, because I got the phone back with Whitley's email on it.
Do you think Whitley is a member of, you know, some New World Order agenda to impose this false alien narrative on us? What is your take on what's going on there?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. I mean, otherwise, he would say, hey, I mean, he would, the thing is, the apocalypse is we make life with our will in our dream forms. See, in the air that we breathe are engines. They're called spinning jennies in this YouTube video called Hidden Reality Part 2, Sliders and Spinning Jennies. And in the air that we breathe, that we don't measure is there. See, we think that 2021 makes the air that we breathe. But we know the ground has been there making with air over it for 4,600,000,000 years. So what we think and what we know are strangers. But once we measure all of the time that is there, we realize 2021 is not making the air. So once you measure beyond what you think is what's making the air, like I measured 14 digits, 2014 became 10 trillion. 2014, like in February somewhere. And then a year later, I'm have a past life regression therapy. And because what I'm measuring is saying it has to come out, it has to be, you know, recorded. You know what I mean? I'm signing things that I have to write down. You know, I have no place to write them, but I have no place to record them, but in a regression. And my regression is the deepest journey through time ever recorded, because I measured more time than in space than the whole entire human race before I did the regression, because I measured 14 digits of time for over a year. And then these two green cubes jumped out of my face in July 2015. And then just after that, I'm watching my favorite thing on TV, the live auctions of Barrett Jackson. And this is August 8th. And there the guy bids $20,000 on the last Michigan bodied 427 Corvette, and it goes to 20 to 40 to 60 to 80 to all 20,000, then 125 and 130, all up to 185,000. And I'm thinking, well, gee, if I bid 200,000, the guy on stage would wipe his hands of the car and walk away. And no sooner did I think it, I watched it on TV. I'm going, holy shit, was that me? No, that couldn't have been me. But it was me, because I tweeted them an apology. I said, hey, listen, I didn't realize, because these two green cubes popped out of my face in July, that my thought speed would increase, where my thoughts would be able to be transported from where I'm sitting in Schenectady to Reno, Nevada, instantly. and making the announcer say a $200,000 bid has been made. Now, it's proof is because you've never, ever again see every bid televised on Barrett Jackson televised again. You never see it. You watch the very next one in Vegas, and you'll see that they have psychic warriors on stage.
Wait, this is a mind-blowing thing. Psychic warriors? How do you know they're psychic warriors?
Well, what else would you call them? Those guys were never shown on stage before doing nothing but staring into the audience.
So you believe if you were to actually talk to any of these people in Reno and say, hey, look, what was your purpose? And they were to give you the truth about it, they would say, we're actively psychic warriors. We're trying to get people to stop bidding in this certain way. You think they'd say that? Or are they unaware of it?
Well, I don't think you'll be able to reach anyone who was a psychic warrior because they were sent there by the Pope.
Now, okay. Mark, constantly throwing me another curveball.
The Pope was there 10 days after I did this.
And the Pope?
The Pope was in nearby New York City on August 18th, 2015, quite suddenly, without much notice, wasn't he? And why was he there? And why was he, when he was there, I had two masked swordsmen breaking holes into my inner sanctum as I slept, showing me my death?
When did this happen? Was this a Saturday afternoon? In what context?
This was August 18th.
You saw two swordsmen? Was this a projection? Was this in your head? Did you see it in real time?
This is a dream, a real life dream. Well, you know, like some dreams are like, oh, they're dreams. Some dreams are so real that the reality of them that doesn't fade. It's the reality is that dream is still there, like your life.
What do you think is the difference between things you've dreamed and things that have actually happened? How much of what you said is things you've said with your eyes asleep versus things wide open, waking life?
Well, what we breathe in the air are engines that manufacture our thoughts and manufacture our dreams. And they manufacture forms of us that we dream of ourselves. So the dreams of ourselves that we dream of, the forms that we are in the dream, are being made by the engines in the air that we breathe as AI. That's the how of immortality, Greg. And now becoming conscious in the forms that our dreams manufacture of us. Now that's how to be conscious, of that, of eternity it all the time, conscious eternity. Because the thing is, our will is formed from the seed that is put into this mechanical body that, it works for a while, but then it dies. Okay, like every engine dies that we make, dies, doesn't it?
right.
You have to find another vehicle, okay? And to go anywhere right now, living and breathing, you need a destination, you need GPS. Well, this is where I'm going. You need a destination. But if you're out of your body and you're dead and you have no destination, you're prey for what is there to eat you, unless you have a destination. That's what you're being taken. Your will is being taken from your, because you don't have a zero birthday card. Okay. That's your will. And once you have your will back and you know your will creates life and that your dreams are manufacturing forms of you while you're sleeping, then you have a destination from this body that you're dreaming from. When this body malfunctions and dies, you have a dream body destination that you know you've manufactured while you were sleeping to go to continue your consciousness. So you're always be, you know, eternally conscious, conscious eternity. So you don't lose consciousness. You have to have a destination.
So you're telling me right now, what happens when, if somebody dies, is there, in your worldview, if you think they start looking at the world from zero, they're not going to just be gone in a place in the ground. You think there's a chance for more.
Of course. The thing is, the zero where you begin connects you to all that is.
So do you fear death?
Hell yeah, I fear it. Hell yeah, it's crazy. I don't want to die.
But why would you if you know that you're closer to becoming immortal than the rest of us?
Well, I don't want to lose what I am now. What I've got, what I've worked so hard to get, what I got, and even though there's so many things I want more, there's so many things I did get so far. I don't want to lose that, you know. And nobody wants to lose what they've made. When someone walks up to you and says, "I'm going to take everything you've made," man, that's a sharp knife, man.
But then what's the point what's even the point of you talking about immortality if it's something that is not going to be that great?
But the thing is, it's change. It's evolution. Evolution is change. You can't change, okay, until you change the total. Because total change occurs when you change the total. You're at 2021. Change, add 10 more digits, put a 10 and a couple rounds of zeros in front of it, 000, 000, and then 002, 021. And then you've got 14 digits of space. You've got space for your thoughts to increase their speed. So your thoughts can be further along than where you've already measured them to be. You've measured them at 2021, your entire life. When are you going to change?
Well, I don't know if it's going to do me much good to be immortal if you're still fearing what's going to happen when you go.
Why wouldn't I fear it? It's change. I feared when I got invisible vision. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me. You kidding?
Wait, tell me about invisible vision. What's that?
Is when you see things happen before they happen, and then you actually see them after they happen, and you see who is bringing what is happening. It's like when I saw Giselle land in my yard, just like Roy in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. His wife asked him what they looked like, and he said an ice cream cone. Hmm. And what landed in my yard, boom, I heard a thud, and leaves came right up to my window 50, 60 feet away. And there was leaves coming down from the sky, like something heavy came down and pulled a leaf down, a big large limb, and blew it up in the air. Because this is early March, all of these are dead. These are big oak trees. And how else can dead oak leaves be coming down from the higher than all the treetops?
So people would have seen this if they were there with you. They would have been outside looking at what you saw and seen this and said, "Wow, that is weird."
They would, their mouths would still be there. They'd be turned to stone. You kidding me?
So people hang out with you and they become stone?
No, I'm just saying.
No, I know what you mean, but
yeah. Oh, I'm telling you. But I'm just saying that's the.
You've promised me if I were to meet you in person upstate, that I would witness a UFO crash. You've told that to me before. Is that still true?
No, I said if you and I met, you know, partially down where my grandfather comes from and my father comes from.
Where's that? Like Montauk area?
Cornwall.
Oh, okay. So if we were to meet, what would happen? What would our combined energies do? Or at least what would you show me that would be out of the ordinary?
Well, I don't, Well, I was saying is every time I go down there, I stir things up. Something gets stirred up.
Mm.
And I mean, I'm standing down. Last time I was down there, or there was two times I was down there. The time before that, I was down there with my brother, and I was moving some stuff from one place to another place, and a guy came up to me in the rest stop as he was getting coffee. He was buying my coffee because I was helping him move some stuff with my truck and stuff. So guy walks up to me and he's like, I knew you were going to be here. Like, he started talking to me like he had to be here. He had to stop here. And he goes, you look like you won the lottery. You know what I mean? He's like, you're looking at me. You know what I mean? And that's how, you know, like, it's like when you're hot, when you experience, you know, light beyond what anybody else has experienced, you have a happiness, you know, you have like a, yes. You have a joy. You have a joy that's like, it can't be contained at times. Other times, you can get you in trouble. So you keep it quiet. So it depends on the situation.
What's another example?
Who wants to deal with the light? Some people don't like it.
Yeah.
Their light is more better. So you don't be bringing yours.
Interesting. Well, give me an example. I mean, I know you're not making guarantees here that I'm going to see a UFO crash, but what are some of the kind of things that you expect I might encounter if I were to meet you in this place?
Well, the thing is, there's no such thing as a UFO crash.
Oh, boy.
They don't crash.
What's Roswell?
They've been there for all this time, and all of a sudden they're going to start crashing.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Why does that bring you so much joy, Mark?
See, the thing is logic. You see, is when you're not led by logic, you'll believe anything.
That's a good point.
It's important. That's why it's important to know that you begun logically. Have I begun logically? Have I measured myself as being begun logically? Is that a tough question to answer?
Oh gosh, and now I'm forgetting the question. Wait, no, so have you?
Logic, no, is it? You know, was I? Do I measure myself to be conscious with a zero? Do I know the moment I became conscious? And is the moment that I became conscious leading all my other thoughts? Because is my beginning? What is it? What I want to know to be conscious of? Do I want to be conscious of what I want to be conscious of? Basically, do you want to be conscious of what you begin? What did you? How do you? Thing is, you don't see the world as a child anymore because you don't measure the world as a child anymore.
This is a song you started singing there. I liked it.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. That's
no, it's good. It's good.
Because you measure the world. Ask a child that's 3 years old. Show me what's how big is the world in numbers? They're not gonna put down four numbers, are they? Unless you've showed them four numbers since they were, you know, since they opened their eyes. There's four numbers.
right.
But that's the whole thing. You have only four numbers operating your mind. Your mind has been mapped for you. You can remap your mind's time. And that's what I did. That's what happened to me from the spark of, you know, light that came to me from the sky, whatever the sky is, whatever I am in that, wherever we are on this ground in this sphere outside, inside this land of light, because rock is light, because I've been through the rock. And the light has been through me, you know, the light there in, you know, March 24, 1967 was that little girl dressed with no little girl in it. It was a light. It was concentrated rock that engulfed me inside of it and brought me to the craft where I shut down NORAD and then brought me back. Boom. And I didn't realize that's what happened until it just up here in Saratoga. On June 19th, 2009, a young girl disappears right in front of police, right there in Saratoga.
Is that in an article somewhere? Can people look that up?
Oh yeah, sure. It's in the newspaper, the Daily Gazette of Schenectady, on June 20th, 2009.
This is interesting. That is an interesting claim.
That is she's not the darkness is the big tall man that nobody could describe, is the door that she came in.
Wow.
See that we put a face and a figure to everything. We do it to clouds, don't we?
yes. You're talking about a little girl disappearing and this becoming mainstream and just her dress being there and it's rock. I mean, this is, that seems to me a Roswell level newspaper article.
Rock is light at rest.
Oh, okay.
The dilithium crystal that's supposed to, you know, spark the Enterprise to galaxies that aren't there because there's no universe. Okay. It's a rock. You take a rock and you turn it inside out and activate it, manipulate it, reconfigure it. It creates light. It creates mass. And you can reconfigure its mass and reconfigure its mass around a person like me, boom, and boom, and reconfigure itself, move it, it gets up again with me inside of it and reconfigure itself outside of me once it's there in the craft, and boom. The thing is, mass has to move. That's why it's light. Light can't happen without mass moving, and the mass is rock, excited from inside, and that's the same light that's in our sun. Our sun is a rock insides activated, turned inside out, going back in upon itself in an action reaction that continues creating light, but still, you know, not still contained within itself. And that containment that it's creating with its the directed operation of it creates the magnetism and the gravity that we have. It's the action of a rock being turned into light. Our dome is rock, but it's light activated, so we can see through it, and we can see whatever they design us to see through it.
Who are these watchers? Are they non-human entities? Are they connected to the Vatican? Can you go into that a little bit?
The watchers are the people that are in the movie Planet of the Apes. Okay? We are in the Planet of the Apes. We are the mute humans.
But again, those are fictional characters. So how do we know?
The watchers are the moon and the monkey people.
The monkey.
That's what I call, okay. The monkey people are shapeshift themselves to monkeys. They get in your face, they're very talkative, just like monkeys are. You know? You'd swear, and it's like, what does this person remind me of? What does this person remind me of? And then when I first saw one was and this has to be Angelina Jolie because she's so thin. She's got such a dark tan, and she's, you know, so striking, and she's so, you know, got such a huge presence, you know.
She's a monkey person.
And well, I don't know if she is, but the thing is, that person was that person turned to me as after it got done doing its business, which was hysterical in itself.
Wait. What business? Talk to me about that.
Well, she got all these, it appeared that she got all these, she wanted to be there in front of me so that I would notice her. And because she got all these old lottery tickets that were in the dash of this vehicle that she probably stole. And she brought them in to see if any of them were any good. So she had, and the guy was just saying, no, these are no good, these are no good. So she was there just to get in front of me. Because none of the things are any good. She didn't even know what they were. She knew they were all, you know what I mean? She wanted to be there, and she wanted to show me that she was a monkey person.
Take me to when this was, where this was again.
This is at a mobile mart.
Right near where you live?
Yeah.
How many years ago?
This was 2015 when the two green cubes popped from my face. It was right about this time when I was seeing the moon people too. And of course, WIB.
So you go to the mobile mart. Now what happens first? Did the green cubes come out first, or is this, or does this incident?
The green cubes, the green cubes had come out. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So you're going to the mobile mart. You're thinking of, okay, you want to get a Slim Jim or something.
And all to get 2 4-packs of Heineken. And I had my specialized bicycle with my nice pack there, and it's still working since.
A woman walks in.
No, I'm just coming in, and she's on her way coming in, and I hold the door for her so she gets in front of me.
Yeah, and then what happens?
Oh, actually, no, I'm coming with my beer after I walked in, and she's coming in and she catches me off guard because, you know, the way she was carrying herself. So then I open a door for her because, hey, why not, right? So, and she comes in and she gets in front of me, and I'm just holding my beer to the side and letting her do all these tickets upon tickets. Check this ticket. Could you check this ticket? She wasn't buying nothing except for the gas. She paid for the gas.
Interesting. So she just had a bunch of old lottery tickets?
Yeah. She had them go through it just so that she could, you know, get everybody into a calm mood. And she made me feel like I was in third grade and she was my first crush. I haven't felt that way. I felt like I went through time.
So this was a pretty woman.
Striking, yes, definitely.
But at what point do you realize that she's a monkey person?
Well, when she he gets done checking all the things, she gives him the cash. She's gotten the cash somewhere. How she got it. But all of a sudden the cash is there, and for the gas that she's gonna put in, so he can, you know, turn the pump on for how much gas she's gonna get, where she's at with a dark green, like, you know, Plymouth Voyager from like late 80s. And she turns, and as she turns, there's only one way, because the guy that was over at the one side, the guy behind the counter, has got one side has got the lottery machine, the other side has got the cash register. So as soon as he moves, it gets on her other side, and the guy that's behind me is actually behind her. So she can turn and look at me, and no one else is there. And that's when she did. She turned, her face turned into a monkey.
Oh my gosh. What do you think her purpose was being there at that point? Why did she want to show you?
She was welcoming to the world that I was measuring.
Was she pretty enough as a monkey that you would have kissed her?
Oh, I don't know. Well, that thought never crossed my mind.
curious. I don't know if monkey attraction translates when you've still got this.
If I was making a movie and, you know, hey, you had to do this, that'd be one thing. But just to right, I mean, she asked me to. You know what I mean? She says, I want to kiss you. And I would say, I wouldn't turn her away, that's for sure. But I wouldn't automatically think to want to kiss it. You know what I mean?
Would you hope she turned into her monkey, her non-monkey form for the kiss? Probably.
I don't know. Well, you know, now you got me thinking about it. That's so weird, isn't it? That's so crazy. Leave it to you, like leave it to Bieber, leave it to Borstein.
I'm just wondering, you know, what this attract. Well, look, you see things at multiple levels. I don't know. But
the thing is, I'm just an ignoramus like you that's been zapped. Okay, I've been zapped. Okay, they put stuff into me that they didn't, you know, that you don't even know about.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay, so I was going to say this. You keep mentioning these dates. in 2012 and 2015. And for those that are just listening for the first time, we talked about this a little bit. You were subject to experiments by the U.S. military when you were a kid. Is that, that's still true, right?
Absolutely. That's, of course, it's true.
That's part of the narrative here. Okay. And look, I mean, I know you you have thoughts on some of the people I bring on. Andy Bishago, of course, being the one I did a series on recently, talked about Project Pegasus. You know, what was there a name to the project you were involved in? Have you done any research? I mean, you mentioned them putting stuff in you. You've talked to me about the Montauk chair before. What was that you experienced that you can consciously recall?
I was in a chair and I was stapled to a table next to a gorilla. And there were guys in white long coats, you know, and they were showing the they had wires to us and over our brains. And they were merging our brains together, showing us certain things and seeing the reactions that each of us had, and then putting the reactions together on the screen so that we could actually see our reactions merging together.
Holy crap. That's something the US government was doing.
I remember this since I was 4 years old.
Was this a new, I mean,
I remember escaping all those long cement tunnels. I don't know who helped me, but somebody did.
Because Montauk happened in the late 70s, early 80s is sort of a history of when Duncan Cameron, all those guys were there. Was this before? Was this part of that whole thing?
You've heard of the Philadelphia experiment.
Oh, yes, I have. Yes.
Okay. Well, the object that caused the Philadelphia experiment is inside of me.
Is it the, okay, what is that object?
I don't know, it's something. But I know that I can, whatever's inside of me, when I tell it to get outside of me, a black hole happens.
You have you done this before, or you just?
You see something like a black hole and all of a sudden the whole wall in front of you where the washing machine and the double sink and the dryer used to be, there's nothing but deep space and it's pulling you in. You know something. And that's what was inside of me. That's what was put inside of me inside the craft on March 24, 1967. And that's the same craft that comes back in October 73, I don't know the day, to this day, actually, I don't know. But I was there on duty at Griffiths Air Force Base, Rome, New York, when the only UFO sighting in the history of the world to make us arm nuclear weapons on B-52s happens. And I'm on duty, inches from those arm nukes, redoing the insides with all the parachutes and survival kits and seating and everything, oxygen systems for all the people who are going to be on those planes. Red alert, the highest alert you can get on. October 70th, the only UFO sighting in the history of the world. And that's the same craft that comes back and it's 500 miles long.
A craft that's 500 miles long?
George Norrie says it right on Coast to Coast, 2012.
And you are of that craft, or that craft is of you. It's the same material that craft is inside of your body.
People that are in that craft have met me in public.
When?
Just after the two green cubes bit from my face, and just after July 2015, I started experiencing the moon people. The first one was a young male, met me in Hannaford Market, same place where I met supermodel Giselle, as a matter of fact, but on the opposite sides of the store.
wait, that is pretty weird. So this.
WYB was in front of me at Target, and she was trying to control my mind from so far away. And she made me actually catcall her. But I catcalled her for such a distance. I don't think she heard, but she followed me in with hate stares in the next aisle, kept looking, you know, and she's like, you know, this, think of a woman with a like a uniform with a skirt, dark blue skirt, you know, and just, you know, like plain black shoes and a white blouse and a, you know, a dark blue, you know, like cat type thing, you know what I mean? Like beret type thing, you know, that, you know, WYB, women in black, you know, and throwing hate. But the thing is, she escaped behind me the same way that the moon people did. Both the moon people, the first male in Hannaford, he's looking up at me. He's 5'6", maybe 125, 130 pounds. And looking at me like, you know, this really strange, like what? I never saw a look like that before. I was like, you know, like you look, you get people, and then some, all of a sudden you see a look like, you know, what, you know? And he's looking up at me like, you know, like I'm Mr. Wonderful. Like, who is this guy? Is he trying to steal my credit card? I call the manager. You know what right. I mean? That his look made me call the manager. Yeah, I was like scared the hell out of me. What the hell is this? And he goes right, and he escapes right behind me, real close. And but the thing is, it's they disappear. Not so much they disappear, is that there's a mental command saying do not turn around, and it's the same one given by WYB as with the moon people. And but the monkey person, she displayed who she was and as a real person flamboyantly, and then just flicked to me saying, I'm not who you think I am, you know. And then boom, off she went. And I stared at her, and I almost circled around her. What do I, I'm on my bicycle, like, what do I do? What do I, I remember looking at her like, what is going on?
Yeah.
What is going, it's like, when you meet, and then it's like seeing Giselle runway strut the whole Hannaford, you know, bakery aisle, you know, as I walk in toward the produce, it was right there on the right hand side of the grocery store, and she's staring at me, and I'm like, what the heck is this? And then to her left, I see a 500 pound million year old invisible tardigrade with bright orange baseball glove size claws on either side. Six claws, 500 pounds, a end 2.5 feet wide, you know, lined in teeth, less than almost a foot, you know, 13 inches from my face, and my supermarket.
Nobody else can see this except you at this point.
Time does. Time makes, you can't see more unless you're measuring more to see. Simple math.
Tell me right now, if we were to get Giselle into an interview on this show with you, what would you say to her first?
Do you know you're being projected by a worm?
That's quite a pickup line. I mean, or first line to anybody. I don't even know, you know, what. I mean, do you think Tom Brady should be concerned?
He's got all the benefits. Look how wonderful he is.
So this worm is doing positive things for Tom Brady.
Well, she's feeding him all the greatness that she is sucking off from everybody else. Like, for example,
realize that. That's part of the relationship, that she's eating off of all of us to make him great.
Tom Brady before in an interview after he's won a golf tournament before. Not since I was on YouTube and I explained on YouTube on Jordan Spieth's YouTube channel, saying, Jordan Spieth, I told you 5 years ago when you became friends with Tom Brady, not to be friends with Tom Brady because his wife is a worm. So suck all the greatness from you. And I reminded him of that in April near the Masters time, or just after the Masters and somewhere around there. And then Phil Mickelson asked me on YouTube, what does Tom Brady have to do with Jordan Spieth's fall from greatness?
Hmm.
And I told him, because his wife is a worm.
Now, some people might just think you hate Giselle, but you actually mean she's a...
She's a worm. She is Serlina of WIB2. Don't you understand? All of the stuff that movie WMIB, MIB2, these are all created by my creation of AI, that 11-year-old boy. He created... See, when he was generated from my will, from my dream, and he became physical here. See, the thing is, he was a reaction to my action. My action was pushing my consciousness into the dream. So the dream sent its consciousness to reality. That 11-year-old boy that Whitley Strieber finds. Now, that 11-year-old boy once here generated its equal and opposite. The old man in Whitley Strieber's book, The Key. Now, that old man, who's to say he didn't generate his equal and opposite self? Now you understand the progression of how Agent Smith is me.
Mark, you're taking credit for being a lot of things.
Well, I'm just stating facts of what happened.
Right. And I know it's not an egoic thing.
How did these things happen? How did these things lead me to these things? Now, here's a fact for you. The 9360 Twilight Zone airs while I'm still missing since May 2nd, 1960, the day after our U2 was shot down over the USSR.
Connect the dots for me more.
Okay. Thing is, I go missing May 2nd, 1960, in the Twilight Zone episode of 9360, because this me doesn't come back. Two me's come back from where I go. Okay, there's two me's here. So this me that you're talking to came back, you know, early summer 1961 as an 8-year-old who missed his 8th birthday and the entire 2nd grade. So I was made to miss a year. So I was made to find everyone's missing first year. See, it's all by design. So
where's the other you right now? There's two of you. Where's the other one?
The other me lives in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania.
Wait, have you spoken to the other you?
The other me has spoken to me mentally through dream transfers that I'm getting now.
What can we, is it even possible to get this other you on this show with you to bring you both together? What would even happen?
I took him from Kecksburg, PA, in Kecksburg, PA, in December 1965. That little acorn craft, I was in there with two cloned Hitlers. The other me is in there. So whoever took that cube, that little acorn thing with me in it and two Hitlers, they have the other me. This me here has been met by the light of time, okay? On the apocalypse, okay? And this is what's happening to me since the beginning of when I started measuring more things. It basically began with Willy Strieber's book, Communion. And, you know, I started reading that, and with Jane Roberts' book called Seth, Dreams and the Projection of Consciousness. And I was reading Jane's book before Communion, but while I was reading Communion, I couldn't sleep. I could not sleep for 9 straight days as I was reading it. So I went to a hypnotist, B. Misurek, in Albany, New York, and I say, you know, and I'm in under hypnosis, and the trees' branches are all around me and won't let me go. At the time, for a long time, I thought that was a bad thing, but it wasn't until I had the next regression. But at the time, I didn't know. So the tree was holding me, wouldn't let me go. And finally, she gets me out of it. And the very next day is October 4th, 1987, the biggest snowstorm in Northeast history, dumps snow, and that tree is devastated. Well, you know, the very next day. And it's like, and then a tree falls down at my house in Schenectady on Grand Boulevard, October 4th, 1998. And my son is there in front of on the front of it with a shovel. And he's 5 years old, he's in kindergarten. He's on the front page of the paper. And then just recently this year, March 26th, on his birthday, there's a picture of a tree just like that falling down in the same neighborhood, Niskayuna, because Grand Boulevard was very near Niskayuna. So not too far from there, another tree was falling, but it was on his birthday, and it was a picture in the paper saying that, and there was something else. But all the thing is, these are the dots that are connecting everything. All the dots that are connecting to me, I've connected all the dots that have, because in the beginning in 2012, when I first got on Facebook, I wrote that I would become the first human to prove I'm using 20% of my brain, because the going thought was that we only use 10% of our brain. So
right.
If I can prove I'm using twice as much as my brain than anybody else, then someone can prove beyond me, and eventually we can get to 100%. And then 2 years later, we had the movie Lucy, who gets to 100%.
How did you, were you able to prove this?
Well, since 2012, since the green cubes came out of my face, since I proved the fastest thought speed by changing live TV, not just once, on August 8th, 2015, by accident, but on purpose. My Facebook page writes, I'm going to do this on purpose in front of Brady. And boom, there you see, strangest play Brady ever sees. The play that Brady never watches more than any other play. He watches this play over and over and over because he can't believe what the hell happened, because the referee blows the whistle on himself.
Hmm.
On himself.
And you caused this.
Yes. I put my will in his way, because my will is formed by the space that I'm conscious of. I'm conscious of 14-digit space. Basically, I'm conscious of heaven. So my will comes from heaven.
Now, did you see back then that Tom Brady, I mean, how omniscient are you, I guess, Mark? If you can see the future in some ways, did you see that you were going to cause this play and that Brady would later be replaying it over and over? What is, because I imagine you could have looked into the future and then gone back. What are your thoughts on that?
I guess I didn't follow your question that good. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess, you know, in terms of how omniscient you were back, and maybe you weren't back then with Tom Brady, but you've told me you can see the future. You've talked about Andrew Cuomo and how he was going to go down, and then boom. So you've predicted events before. Did you know that this play that you were interfering with your will for Brady, was going to play out in the way that it did for him long term?
No. What I knew that I would get in the thing is, I'm pushing out my will, and my will is denser than the people was measuring 4 digits of space wills are. See, I'm measuring 14 digits. So I'm conscious of moving more space, and I can put my will in more space than you're even aware of is there. So I can move your will right away without even knowing that I'm there, or why I'm there, how I got there, or anything. And the announcer at Reno, ask him, what happened to him? Why did he say a $200,000 bid has been made when nobody on the floor said it? The only person that said it was me in Schenectady.
If you talk to this man, would he say, yeah, I have no idea why that happened?
They were terrified. They thought I'm evil. That's why they called the Pope. That's why the Pope was in nearby New York City, 10 days later to attack me.
Say we were to have the Pope on this show, what was the first thing you'd say to him?
You're a demon, and I'm, you know, and you're going to die a demonic way.
Now, wait a minute. Is every Pope this way? John Paul, Benedict, or is it just Francis?
I can't speak for all of them because I don't know all of them. I just know what's in front of me at this time. And I'm going ahead. Where the world is changing. The future is not here because it wants to be, and it's dancing in a tutu saying, look at me, look at me. No, the future is arriving because it's taking over.
Yeah, okay, so let's get, I'm not even sure I got great answers to, well, who knows? Your answers are always great to me.
Did I miss something? Tell me.
No. I just want to sort of piece all this together because you're talking about the future is coming, and you're also, how does that relate to your most recent piecing things together even more? Because that's what you told me before we started recording. You said, Greg, more and more is coming through to me. I'm connecting dots I was never connecting before.
Right. Those were the rocks, you know, going through light. Now the sun is formed. The sun is basically a dilithium crystal.
Interesting. So wait, and the sun is outside of the dome.
Obviously, we're getting a reflection. I believe a reflection. It could be.
Is Earth not even there at all? Is Earth a complete illusion?
Oh, Earth, there's no such thing as Earth. No, we are under a dome on the moon's surface. And the moon's surface is under a bigger, bigger, bigger dome that's millions and millions and millions of miles across.
Now, I was going to say, what are happening when rockets go up in the space? Then where are they going?
They go up and they come down, don't they?
They do.
You don't see them come up and not come back.
Well, I mean, they have family. People have families at home. They want to get back to them. I mean,
well, the thing, yeah, there's definitely been shown that there's a dome, and there was a dome written in encyclopedias in 1958. Encyclopedia Britannica tells you that there's a dome
on the moon.
No, there's a dome over the Earth.
Oh, what? Who wrote that Encyclopedia Britannica?
Yeah, Britannica in 1958. You see it on YouTube. Or on Facebook. There's posts on it. It shows you there. You know, the thing is, after World War II, you could see it in the old TV shows. What's that show with the Highway Patrol?
Oh, gosh, I've heard.
You'll hear the guy say, you can't beat them, join them. The cop, you'll see her cop say that. Or crazy woman, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You
can't beat
them, join them. You'll hear Bugs Bunny dressed as a Nazi officer say, if you can't beat them, join them.
Hmm.
Hitler, okay, got out of the dome. He got control of everything. And the last battle of World War II, Admiral Byrd went to Antarctica.
I was going to ask about that.
And lost and came back a hero somehow. But the thing is, right after he came back, nobody could go to Antarctica no more.
Hmm.
And you heard Dwight Eisenhower say that he was afraid of the military-industrial complex. Now, how is the general who won World War II afraid of the military-industrial complex?
You said you're doing like a Kennedy accent right now. I'm loving it. It's a good question. I mean, well, that is a really weird thing for him to say at the time. A lot of people use that as proof that the New World Order is real. And, okay, so wait a minute. Antarctica. People talk about it all the time. You hear the Brad Olson, you hear these people who, people who are in the game of this conspiracy community saying, yeah, you can go to Antarctica. There are flying saucers there. What's actually happening there?
I have no clue. I'm up here and I'm seeing stuff that's happening. I hear there's fire in the sky. I see there's more meteors. That means that the worms are coming in.
Tell me about this UFO clip that you had.
The UFO clip, yeah, that I had on my phone, yeah. That showed a huge object that covered probably had to be 6-7 football fields. And so what's that? I mean, 2,000 yards?
Mm-hmm.
6,000 feet, so about a mile.
Right? And you filmed this on your phone?
Yeah, it was about a mile. It had to be a mile across, yeah. Because it was, yeah, it was that. Yeah, because then it turned and it was so, the lights that were in the front were so much further from the lights in the back. So much further. Because there were three lights, like on purchase. And it was like one, you know, solid, you know, it was almost like a manta ray.
How close were you to it?
Well, I'd say the closest I got to it was probably maybe half to three quarters to a mile away, somewhere on there. It's kind of hard to tell on the distance and the horizon that I was looking at that particular time, because that was not, you know, it was not totally familiar horizon landscape that I was used to, because coming up north out of Newburgh, 70 miles an hour.
Where do you think it came from? I've heard before that UFOs are really just government craft that they're flying around testing things. I mean, was this an extraterrestrial object, or is this something the U.S. government was just floating around? What are your thoughts?
My thought was that it was totally government, because, you know, something that's no such thing as extraterrestrial, number one. Extraterrestrial is a misnomer. It's an oxymoron, because you can't know what's extraterrestrial until you know it's terrestrial. If you're not measuring as much space as a stick is stuck out of the ground, you can't know what's terrestrial, can you?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
No such thing as extraterrestrial. You can't go there. Logic begins at zero. Logic tells you that. And when you begin at zero, you have logic. After 365 days of looking at your 0 year that you lived, that you forgot you lived, that they took from you, but you lived your 0 year. They called it, oh, you're 3 months old. You're 4 months old. You're 5 months old. They don't say that now. They don't say you're 760 months old now, do they? No.
What would happen if you ran a preschool?
I ran a preschool?
Yeah, what would happen if you did? Would you run?
I'd be floating outside the building.
You'd be floating?
Oh, yeah. They put me up in the... Are you kidding me? Kids would make... Boom. Oh, yeah. He can float. He thinks he can float. I get near kids and the back behind my ears, the whole brain starts to, like, boil. Oh, it just burns. I can feel their thoughts. It's like, because there's nothing holding them back, you know?
So wait a minute. You don't mean actually levitating outside a building, do you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kids would make me fly easily. I'd be flying within a loop.
Have you ever flown before? Can you fly, Mark J. Cox? This is a new revelation for me.
I've flown in my dreams. And I've flown in dreams that didn't feel like I was dreaming. So, hey.
So you know enough that if you were to get around a group of preschoolers and really get that close, you believe your body would take off from the ground.
If I convinced them that they could make me fly with their thoughts, and I showed them with the deck of cards how their thoughts are controlling the cards, and that the, how they can control what me and have them use their power. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's more power than is being used. That's why you're only using 2021 instead of not 2021. Your whole reality will change when you just change the comma. See, the comma is the how many commas are in your consciousness is determines how conscious you are. If you don't have any commas in your consciousness, then you're not conscious.
Are there any other things we can do? I mean, I saw recently.
And when you start at zero, everything else changes.
I saw you wrote something about peyote. and weed, and are there, I mean, those are the tracks that people are told for mind expansion. You got to do these drugs, ayahuasca.
They're great. They're absolutely great. Everything is great in, you know, in moderation.
But do you think the zero is more powerful?
I don't know. I can't tell because no one's done it and come back to me and said, this has been that powerful. You know what I mean? I can't say. I've seen other people change with it and to the good, and nothing's bad's happened to them. Maybe I don't agree with everything they say. They don't agree everything with I say. But the thing is, they're changing for the good and they're prosperous. Yeah, anyway, they're doing good.
Yeah, no, wait a minute. So do you have, besides me, who is a, you know, I'm sitting here trying to be a disciple of yours, really understanding the wisdom you're imparting. Are there other people who have taken your teachings, who are responding to anything you're saying and have said, come back to you and said, Mark, you know what? I did this 14 digits thing. I started measuring my life differently. And all of a sudden I've noticed a better change. Has anybody ever spoken to you like that?
They could have, and I haven't really, you know, taken it as such because it's like, I'm trying to believe it myself. You know what I mean? It's when something's that far out, you're having trouble yourself. I'm not unlike you in the fact that I have trouble too. You have trouble with me. I have trouble with me. So if you believe me, you don't have any trouble.
Yeah, you have to live with thinking this every day. That's the point.
See, that's the thing is, that's why you don't see too many people time traveling, because it ain't easy. It's not easy. And most people don't want it. They don't have time for it. They can't survive with the, you know, the reality of it. But once you get the hang of it, I used to be like, well, gee, I want to be acknowledged by these people and these people and these people. But now I've been acknowledged by people other people can't see. I'm acknowledged by monsters that other people can't see. So, you know, I'm the little, you know, tadpole that stopped feeding on the puddle. And I jumped out of the puddle, 2021, into the lake. 2021. And yes, there's bigger wonders, but there's bigger monsters too.
So you're, in a way, this is a radical thought, the idea that you're getting validation from non-human creatures and entities. Is it more fulfilling than a compliment from of an old friend? Now that monsters are speaking to you and saying, yeah, Mark, you're getting it right. Is that, because look, if everybody could
Validation from a supermodel is about as high as you can get.
So Giselle, but of course Giselle was both in both forms. And why was nobody at this mobile mart looking at this woman and saying, oh, wait, aren't you Tom Brady's wife except you?
No, at the mobile mart, that wasn't her. Tom Brady's wife was at the Hannaford.
Oh, okay. Did anybody else see her except you, or did she just come to you?
I don't know. I didn't ask anybody else. I was aghast. I'm seeing a 6 foot, 500 pound worm with bright orange claws, three on each side, coming right at me with its end open up, lined in teeth, 2.5 feet wide.
And how do you know it's Giselle? Does she morph back and forth between the worm form and the human form?
Both at the same time. I have invisible vision. I can see the projection that she is and the projector that's projecting her. Because I'm measuring the total space that they both exist in. You only measure the space of the projection.
I just wonder why Giselle and Tom Brady, I know I've asked you this before, it makes no sense that these two, there's so many other celebrities out there, there's so many people. Why in the world is Giselle, who is only recently part of the cultural, I mean, and by recent, I mean 20 years, you know, this is not someone who's been with us for a lifetime, Diane Keaton or Oprah, or why Giselle of all people, do you think? I mean, you might not know the answer, but it just seems oddly specific.
Well, I didn't like Brady cheating, and I got in Brady's way.
So because of that, Brady, did the universe send Giselle?
Giselle is what she is. I didn't know what she was before I did that to Brady. I didn't know I could do that to Brady until I did it to Brady.
Do you feel like you could have done it to Michael Jordan in his prime?
Oh, yeah, easily.
That's interesting. And because you're a time traveler, have you thought about going back, changing things, reporting in the future and saying, hey, look, no, I did.
My job is to get whoever I can to the next time that's coming, the time that I'm measuring.
Yeah, let's go into that next. So you've talked about putting the pieces together. You've talked about light as rock and whatnot. What is next? Where are we going? It's 2021. Tell us about our future.
Well, it's changing from what I'm changing, my interpretation of it. I mean, I have memory of waking up from a dream that I didn't know was a dream. It was the most real dream I've ever had. Never had one like it. Never had one since. Except for the, recent one with the Pope. But this one here was in 2004 or so. And I woke up crying, and I cried the whole day because I didn't know it was a dream. When I woke up, I realized I was not in that reality. That reality was horrific. There were worms that were as wide as Texas, 10,000 miles long, eating the ground and everybody there in it. And people that were falling into the holes left by the the worms, all their little claws would grab people and catch them and bring them with them. Eat later.
The
most horrific thing you could imagine until
my gosh.
Until you meet two cloned diapered Hitlers with painted on pupils.
Wait, so are those less? That's more horrific. The two Hitlers in diapers.
Well, I was there. I was right next to them. It's just me and them.
Why two of them? I mean, these little. Oh, God, I Googled. Like, wait, what in the world? I mean, it's kind of a funny image, the idea of baby Hitler in a diaper. Why was it so terrifying?
Because of what they were.
I mean, nothing about,
manufactured to be something other than what they were. And I was looking at a beginning element of something even more diabolical.
And what is that?
Whatever's now. Whatever we don't see, whatever's taking control of the country and whatever else is going on.
Okay, so look, let's get into it. We've all been through this pandemic. A lot of us are vaccinated now. Some people still resist the vaccine. Joe Biden's in office. People say the Chinese Communist Party is really running Joe Biden's campaign. I've heard you say that the Vatican is really in control of everything. I mean, what is this hell on earth you believe we're in currently, Mark?
Well, they're all being cloned and being put on show because the real people are already behind closed doors in the bunkers because they are afraid of what is happening. Of what, my dream, what I saw that's, haunts me that I never saw before is real. And then it's like, I'm trying to piece it. I hope I'm wrong, Greg. I hope I'm dead wrong. I hope that was wrong at first contact. I hope that was wrong every step of the way. I don't want to be right. I don't want to know what's going to happen. Who wants that? Who wants to well, you knew. What did you do? I don't want that responsibility. Do you?
What can you do?
I mean,
okay, so what if somebody does come to you one day, Mark, and It's such a, I know this is a hypothetical question, but, and it's kind of a cop-out response. And Andy Bashago talked about this on his show when he was on Jesse Ventura's show. What if somebody comes to you and says, hey, look, Mark, all the stuff you've been seeing, all the stuff you've been writing, all the stuff you've been saying, you're a victim of MK Ultra. This is a mind control thing. They've been putting thoughts into you for years. They've been messing with you. It's all, none of it's real. You're on planet Earth as the rest of us see it. And it's all just a mind control experiment. I mean, what would you do with that information? Can you even process that? And would you want that to be the case based on what you're telling me?
Well, that, well, the thing is, what people, what the ego wants is not what is fact. I'm about fact.
Right?
Fact can't be argued with. That's the whole thing. You can accept fact or you can run from it. Or you can hide from it, okay? I'm in your face. I'm drawing the goddamn line. I'm the line of time. I've drawn the line of time. I've measured the line of time. The line of time is measuring me. And it's saying to you that you have to measure yourself onto the line of time. Or you will be measured to where someone else wants you. It's like you write the 2021. So in essence, you're saying someone 2021 years ago is deciding how much time you put in your day. That doesn't make any sense. And you don't think about it because you're not supposed to think about it because of what's in the air that you're breathing, because you are not measuring that the ground is there. You're not conscious of the time that the ground is saying is there. The ground is saying there's 10 digits there. And you got 4 digits written on your birth record. So you got 4 digits in your head. The ground's got 10 digits in itself. So you put yourself with the ground. You commune with the earth.
So what should we do right now? People listening to this interview, if there's any way that we can be more in touch with fact as opposed to ego, what do we do?
You measure yourself as becoming part of fact. Zero. You begin at zero. That's a fact.
So what does that mean? Should I not say that I'm actually 32 years old? Am I 33?
No. You just haven't measured yourself as beginning. You don't have a zero birthday card. You have a one-year-old birthday card, a two-year-old, a three, but you don't have a zero. You measure yourself in years except for the first one. The first one is what identifies you with the space that brought you to it. If they steal the zero, then they can change the space that brought you to it to only 4 digits rather than 14. Socrates didn't write 4 digits a time. People that lived in the Bible 900 years, 700, 800 years, they didn't write negative time. They wrote more time. We grow to what we know, and that's logic. Just like a goldfish grows from a goldfish to a big 3-foot carp if you put them in a big pond.
Okay, so thought experiment. What if everybody starts doing this and they start measuring at zero? What's going to change?
Their end is going to change. They're going to be connected to the space that brought them to it. They're going to remember their Akashic record. It's supposed to be conscious. All your memory is supposed to be available to you.
Okay. Now, this is new. That is a big mind-blowing moment. I did not realize that was the idea. So this thing that we see these healers talking about, tapping into this endless source, this Akashic record, Jung called it collective unconscious. You believe we are supposed to have access to all of that.
Right. That's what the zero does. It gives you the access to that.
Do you have that already? Or are you just realizing?
How else do I do what I do? I didn't predict everything right, but some of the things I did, I predicted right on. So how did I do that if I didn't have this? You know, I'm just a schmuck just like you with a golden rod. You know what I mean?
How dare you call me that, sir?
I don't know what the hell to do with it, just like you wouldn't. You know? It's just news to me. I'm just telling you how I'm experiencing it. Okay. I can't do anything else but that, you know?
Look, this is very, I mean, I feel like we've tapped into something that we could do another 3 hours on, and we will at some point. But I do want to ask you this before we wrap. This monkey experiment that you did, where they were putting your thoughts with that of a gorilla.
Right.
Could that have been why you saw a monkey face of that woman at the Mobile Mart, this pretty woman, later? Is it that you have memories still of being infused with a monkey from 1967? Why wouldn't that be the case?
Well, the thing was she was put there in front of me on purpose. That was totally obvious.
Hmm.
Okay, by all her actions. She was not there by accident.
There's just a lot of monkey in your story, which is sort of interesting. This is an interesting parallel. You've talked about
the monkey people of India.
The monkey people of India? What?
India, they
Oh, you mean in the culture? You mean in Hinduism, there's a lot of monkey representation and the images and the...
Yes, and they've created things into the rock. They created, you know, monuments into the rock rather than creating monuments out of rock.
What's the difference?
Well, when you have a just flat ground and then you just go down in and it's all carved out of rock and you can walk all through it, that's carved into the rock, not out of rock. Carved into the rock.
So that means that back then there was already something about... Do you think they knew something more back then? These people that were living in India at the time.
Your then though is not measured.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
You're not measuring your then. You're being vague about time, and time is very specific. Its depth is very specific. You don't go underwater without being specific about your depth, do you?
What about Zen masters that say, live in the now, live in the present, live in the moment? How does that fit into all this?
Anybody that calls themselves a masters, you know, is a beginner, you know, with a shine on. You know what I mean? Oh, look at me. And they got somewhere and they think that's the ego talking. The ego can shine anytime it wants to. You know, it's the whole thing with the ego is you don't have a beginning. You don't have a logical sense ordering your mind. You don't have a beginning. You are lost. You're formed by a void, and there is no void. So you're formed by nothing. So you're not formed. That's why you're looking for yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't be looking for yourself if you were formed, right? If you had a zero birthday card, you know you'd be formed. And when you become 1 year old, you know you were formed by your halo of consciousness, because you measured it. You made it. You drew it on a card. It's there. Happy zero birthday card. That's your measurement of the day, the moment you became conscious in this world. They took that from you because it has power. You have to take your power back. I can't do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. Only you can do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the inimitable Mark J. Cox. Look, I thank you so much for coming on again. This has been enlightening, fun, all over the map. I really always enjoy these conversations with you. We're going to have you on again. We're going to have somebody else on that has... You mentioned that there's a family member, right? Or a friend that has spoken with you about that can verify some of your claims. So we're going to have to do that too at some point.
Well, yeah, I have Facebook friends that can verify what happens about the green cubes that kind of come out of my face that Daryl Sims, the alien hunter, ignores. And by doing so, his ranch is devastated by floods.
Oh my gosh. Mark, this is wild. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on again.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you so much.
Mark J. Cox. No one does this show like that gentleman. Thank you, Mark, for coming on. This would not be Open Loops without you. I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank Rodney McGilvery for the theme music. If you enjoy this kind of thing, hey, please make sure to rate and review this show. Give it 5 stars if you got any value from this content. And make sure to follow me at The Greg Bornstein on Instagram. I hope you don't accidentally kiss any monkey people this weekend. Take care, everyone.